Thanks, guys. Great job. I want you to know, next week we begin a new study series on the book of Jonah. We're calling it Runaway. We thought it'd be a great way, since so many of you go to the beach. Jonah's experience with the beach probably was not as good as yours in that sense, but we're going to talk about Jonah. There's a lot of misconceptions about this book and a lot of things that people assume and sort of make fun of and insult. And so we're going to go through Jonah. If you want to do some homework, you can read the first chapter of Jonah this coming week as your devotion, and we're going to jump into it. Today's the last day of our study series that we've called Mirror Image. And we want our lives to reflect Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. And so that's why we call this mirror image. We want to be the mirror image of Jesus and how we act and how we think and our goals and attitudes. So what we did, we took four characteristics of Jesus. We could have chosen 100, but we chose just four. And we wanted to take these characteristics and apply them to our lives. So we talked about grace, faith. Last week we talked about serving. Today, we're going to close out talking about prayer. Now, we started the year with prayer, and I love to talk about prayer and what it means, because it's often, I should say too often, neglected by Christians all over the United States. There's power in prayer, so we're going to focus on prayer and focus on what Jesus believed about prayer. In fact, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, this is what he instructed for us. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, the original Greek implies continual action. Ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. So Jesus emphasizes persistency in our prayers. He says, don't stop. Keep on doing this. Why would he say it? He knows our prayers make a difference. Jesus believed that our prayers affect God. And if you catch nothing else this morning, hold on to that statement as truth. Our prayers affect God. So if we're going to talk about prayer, we ought to pray. Let me pray for you. Father, as we worship now through the study of your word, I pray that you'll just touch us in a very strong way. How we pray and how often we pray and when we pray and what we pray, all of these things, God, the foundation of which is that you want to hear from your children. Thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. You know, it's interesting how certain sights and sounds and even tastes, they can trigger a memory, a flashback, if you will. And I had one some time ago. I was flipping through some pictures on the internet, and came across an old photograph of the Barnum and Bailey Circus back in the 50s or 60s, and I immediately flash back to when I was a youth minister and a newlywed living in Evansville, Indiana. And my new wife Kim and I, we chaperoned a trip for the elementary school kids to go to the circus, which had just come into town. And at one point, this beautiful young woman climbs up the rope ladder and she starts swinging. And she's wearing this very revealing costume. And my wife leans over and she says, there's nothing underneath. And I didn't think that was right, because we got all these kids present. So I watched her closely. And I made out she had this flesh-colored material underneath her costume. And so I leaned over to my new bride, and I said, "It's okay. She's got material underneath that skimpy outfit." And my wife turned and replied, "When I said there was nothing underneath, I meant there was no net underneath the trapeze. What are you looking at?" That was the last circus I ever attended, I want you to know. But it's amazing how certain things now send you back and you remember things that you had possibly forgotten. I was visiting my dad in Lexington, Kentucky, and had gone up for the day, and this was recently, and we were just talking about how church has changed over the years. And he reminded me, and it came back in a just a flurry of memories. He used to take me to church on Wednesday nights when I was just a kid. And we had a service that was called 45 Minutes with God. And every church had something similar because of the time and the culture it was. But it was a prayer meeting. And so we all came and we prayed. We spent 45 minutes with God praying. And we did it silently, or we would do the Lord's Prayer together. Sometimes we'd get in small groups. Sometimes we'd just sit silently alone. And sometimes my dad, who would lead this service because he was the minister, he would share, this is a prayer concern. Pray for this for 5 minutes and I'll give you something else to pray. And so it was really good until it began to change, because some people said, like on Sunday morning, I prepare for worship with God by music, and I think we ought to have a little music that would prepare our hearts for prayer. So they added 10 minutes of music. So you had 10 minutes worship through song, and then 35 minutes with God. And then someone said, it'd be nice to have a little devotion with that. So they had a 5-minute devotion, and then a 10-minute song service, and then 30 minutes with God. Well, then the devotion started getting longer and longer and longer because people would start asking questions, and soon it became a Bible study. And prayer was relegated to opening the service and closing the service. So as far as prayer goes, we spent 2 minutes with God and 43 minutes with ourselves doing what we wanted to do. Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with a Bible study, and there's nothing wrong with worship through song. But looking back, I think what hit me, and Dad was saying that this really occurred in all churches or the churches that he was familiar with, we replaced prayer. We didn't move it to another time. We just replaced it. And everyone was okay with that. Because you can pray anytime and you don't have to come together. And it sort of just lost, if you will, the prominence, the importance. Prayer is virtually non-existent in many churches today, except to open and close, and if they have communion, maybe to pray over communion. But we show up for concerts, we show up for dinners, we show up for class parties, we show up for other special events, but rarely do a lot of people show up when it's a call for prayer. And maybe we don't have enough time. Or maybe we don't believe it makes a difference. Or perhaps because we feel self-sufficient. We really don't need God's power. We really don't need God's intervention a lot. If we get sick, we go to the doctor or the ER. If natural calamity destroys our property, we fill out an insurance form. If we run out of money, we use plastic. If we're having relational difficulties, we'll go see a counselor. If our clothes wear out, we'll buy more. If we want to know what to do in our church, we see what everybody else is doing. And then we form a committee, and then we take a vote. When asked to pray for people in various situations and for various needs, are we really interested and involved enough to do that? Have we turned our We have a new way to say goodbye when we're Christian. We're talking to someone and it goes along and we've got to move on. So we'll take, hey, I'll pray for you. And then we're gone. Did we really mean that? Do we really pray? Do we really feel that prayer makes a difference? And I just looking around at the church today, I wonder, do we really believe God is a prayer hearing and prayer answering God? Some of you take notes during the sermon, and I want you to know that encourages me. And that's how some people, that helps them focus better, or it helps them learn better. It may not apply to you. That's okay. But they do. But I wonder how many of us keep a list of prayer requests or a journal of prayer requests, and that we pull it out and we pray for those people, pray for the situation in their life, and take time to do that. I wonder if some Christ followers today believe that God shut down the miracle business shortly after the New Testament was written. And maybe we've depowered God in our theology. And if we have, we become Christian humanists who believe mankind can do anything if they take the time to study the problem carefully and implement a plan. And that's all we become. To us, then, if that's the truth, then God no longer has the power he had in biblical times. Or at the very least, he doesn't use that power for our benefit. We talk to God and then decide what his answer will be or should be. And if we decide that he can or won't answer, we just don't pray. If he doesn't answer quickly, we stop praying. But I want you to understand something. We don't pray because we believe in prayer. We pray because we believe in the power of God. That's the key. If you really believe that God is on his throne, he is in control, he can do whatever pleases him, and he loves us and he wants to meet our needs, you're going to pray. It has nothing to do with prayer itself. You believe in the power of God. And if we really believe he is the all-powerful God of the Bible, who has not put his might on hold, whose power is available to us, we pray. The psalmist declares, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. God does what he does. He doesn't need our vote. He doesn't need our approval. He doesn't need our input, nor does he acknowledge our veto. He goes ahead and he does it. Perhaps the need is not so much for a message on prayer as a message on the awesomeness of God. Because when you see God for who he really is in your mind's eye, when you really believe that, then you're going to believe that God cares and that God wants to hear your prayers and God's going to answer those prayers. God's will be accomplished. And he knows our needs. But why should we imagine that our prayers will change him or affect him? I mean, he's way up there in heaven. And he's the Almighty God. Why should we believe it? Because Jesus believed it. Jesus believed that our prayers affect the Heavenly Father. I've been influenced by my children perhaps greater than any other one factor or experience in life. They've made me laugh and cry. They've brought me joy and pain. They touched me deeply in ways no one else can. And the same is true for our Heavenly Father. He is the perfect parent as well as the powerful creator. His children touch him in ways the angels cannot. And the Bible teaches that God is affected when his children pray. And I'm not sure how I can explain this adequately. But I'm going to try. Because I believe it with all my heart. Let me give you some examples. God freed his people in the book of Exodus from Egyptian slavery with great miracles, the 10 plagues. And after walking through a parted Red Sea, which was another miracle, God's people stopped temporarily at Mount Sinai. Moses went up on the mountain to receive the 10 commandments, the Old Testament law. Well, Moses was up there a while. And so while he was having his long talk with God, the Israelites grew impatient. They needed something, so they took their jewelry, they melted it down, they poured it into a mold shaped like a calf. And then they worshiped the golden calf. They sang hymns to the calf. They brought offerings to the calf. They declared the calf to be the God who brought them out of Egypt. That angered God, to say the least. And so he said to Moses, I have seen these people, and they are a stiff-necked people. Then he commanded, now leave me alone. Have you ever said that to your own kids? Leave me alone. I've got to take care of this. Just go over there, and we'll talk later, but leave me alone. Well, that's what God's doing to his child, Moses, here. He says, now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. Instead of walking away, Moses begged God not to destroy his people. And the way it reads is that God listened. And he reacted. Verse 14, then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Now, obviously, this raises questions about God's nature and God's will, but don't get sidetracked. We'll touch those another time. I want you to simply remember this. Prayer affects God. That's what we saw with Moses. Let's go ahead to the next example. God told King Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah to get his house in order because he was going to die. But Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. And before Isaiah, after delivering the message, before he left the palace, God tapped Isaiah on the shoulder and said, go back and tell the king this. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. I will add 15 years to your life. Isn't that amazing? We're seeing prayer make a difference with God, make a change in circumstances. Some suggest God never, ever, ever changes his mind. But God's own declaration concerning what he will do is better than any theologian's understanding. God said, if at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. So using our limited and finite understanding of God's ways, which is all we have, to make these conclusions, to make proper determinations, it appears that while God will never change his mission, that God will never change his goal, God will never change his plan to redeem humanity, it at least appears that he can and will change some specifics, some circumstances, some methods in response to the prayers of his children. That's part of what it means to be God. I mean, he has that right. And he demonstrated that right many times in the Bible. For us to say that God will not or cannot do that for us is to deny God's power and authority. So, if our prayers affect God, then prayer can affect our circumstances because we're talking to the one who has all the power, who has all the authority to make changes in circumstances. So if we really believe in God and we believe in the power of God, then we've got to believe that God is affected by our prayers. He had all this power in Bible times. He possesses it today. He will possess it forever. And one of the messages of the Bible is God's unlimited power. When Abraham rejected the possibility that his elderly wife would conceive and give birth, he was told, is anything too hard for the Lord? When God promised to fill a valley full of water without rain or wind, he said through Elisha the prophet, this is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. The angel brought the message to Virgin Mary saying, you're going to give birth. It's going to be a miraculous birth. For nothing will be impossible with God. Jesus himself stated, with God, all things are possible. So if God, a prophet, an angel, and Jesus all affirm that God's unlimited power is truly present, then who are we to question his ability to change circumstances? High school science taught me that all life on earth was controlled by natural laws. But my teachers were mistaken. I didn't tell them that because I needed the grade. But they were mistaken. There's no such thing as natural law, as if all laws belong to nature. They are supernatural laws. They were created by God. They belong to God. Gravity, laws of thermodynamics, speed of light, they all belong to God. Now, either we believe in God of the creation, or we affirm some kind of accidental evolution. But if we believe in God, then we must believe in God's power. And if we believe in God's power, we must believe that God can and will change our circumstances when we pray. That prayer affects God. I'll show you how the power of God works, even beyond our ability to imagine. Joshua once led the Israelites into battle with the Amorites. Daylight was running out before the battle was. So Joshua prayed for more daylight. I would have asked for a quick victory. But evidently Joshua enjoyed fighting more than I did. So he just asked for more light. And the Bible says that God called the sun to stand still. And it did. And some people say, well, that proves the Bible is wrong. Because it's not the sun that moves, it's the earth that moves. I think God knew that, you know, since he created it. I suspect God said something like, earth, stop right now in your tracks. Everything that's dependent upon the earth's rotation, you just hang loose for a little bit. I'm in charge here. We're going to give a little more light. I think that's how it happened. Don't let the phrase, the sun stood still, diminish your confidence in God's word. Listen, watch the weather tonight on television. Okay? The next time you see that, if you watch it tonight, they're going to say, sunrise, 5:30 a.m., sunset, 8:04 p.m. And I've never heard anyone say, well, I'm not going to watch that channel anymore. They don't know anything about science. But do you want to hear, well, tomorrow morning the earth is going to rotate so that the edge of the circumference of the sun will appear on the horizon at 5:30 a.m. Who wants to hear all of that when sunrise and sunset communicates all of that to us? God is powerful. But today, we can see all these Bible stories. Okay, David, I'll give you that. It's miraculous. But does God change our circumstances today? Are our circumstances really affected by our prayers to God? And I tell you what, I've only been here a short time, but I can walk around this room, and I know some of your stories. And you have seen miracles occur. And you have given the praise to God. There's been healings. There's been financial situations that have been turned around. Marriages that looked like they were going to fall apart work out. I talked to a man today before the first service, and he's dealing with cancer. And he hadn't been here for a long time. But he's come the last 2 weeks, and I've got to talk to him. And he said, prayer has made it possible for me to be here. You keep praying for me. You tell everybody, keep praying for me. Because it's working. He believes that God the Father hears our prayers and answers those prayers. And our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that includes his power to change circumstances. It's the arrogance of man that maybe even our philosophy of independence or our self-sufficiency that supposes God checked in his miracle powers at the end of the first century. There's not a hint in the Bible that suggests that. And I'm convinced that many Christians have caved in to that errant theology because they like to be in control. And so they replace prayer with planning, intercession with involvement, waiting with working, patience with perspiration. We've made organizational skills more significant than God's power. We've given more authority to church bylaws than we have to the Creator's guidance. Does God really continue to hear prayers and intervene in our lives today? Absolutely. Of course he does. Because God loves us and he cares for us. He listens to every word that comes out of my mouth. He knows every thought that I have concerning what I need, my prayers to him. He knows every word that's on my heart, every burden that's there. I attended a conference once, and one of the missionaries was speaking, and he said, I hate to be honest here, but I'm going to say it. He says, a lot of missionaries, my missionary friends, when they come back to the States, they don't tell you all the miracles they've seen. Because there's a lot of Christian Americans who don't believe in miracles anymore. And who thinks that what we tell them, because of what we tell them, we're a little crazy. And we're afraid of losing support. And so we don't share everything that we've seen. At the same conference, there was a missionary who spoke. His name's Ron Morse. And this was a long time ago. This is an old picture of Ron and his wife. Ron witnessed an example of God's intervention years ago. He works in Thailand. But at this time in his life, he was in northern Thailand. And the area was experiencing the worst grasshopper plague anyone could remember. And the village leader came to Ron and he said, listen, I want you to go. You go away, you gather your Christians, and you pray. And I want you to pray that the grasshoppers will leave the believers' fields, but they will stay in the non-believers' fields. And if you do this, and this prayer is answered, I will help you lead the whole village to your Jesus. I wouldn't want to take on that challenge. I mean, that's pretty detailed. And that's looking at a miracle. And we're sitting here going, well, that'll never happen. But Ron did it. He went away. He gathered his Christians. They prayed for 3 weeks. When he returned, he was devastated by what he saw. The grasshoppers remained in the believers' fields. In fact, there were even more grasshoppers than there were before. And he thought, how awful this is going to be. Why didn't God intervene? What is going on here? But upon further examination, as they walked out into those fields, they discovered that the grasshoppers in the believers' fields were only eating the weeds, not the rice. And there were so many grasshoppers in the believers' fields, the dung they left behind fertilized the ground so well, there was an overabundance of rice crop that fed all the people. We got a pretty awesome God who knows our needs, who listens to us. And that doesn't mean God will always answer our prayers exactly the way we dictate to him. Doesn't mean that he'll always answer our prayers in the affirmative or that he will always intervene when we tell him to. Every one of us in here, we've experienced no answers from God to our prayers. We've experienced wait answers, which is the hardest thing to do. We got to be careful not to assume that we can just order God around with our prayers. God does not play that selfish game that some of us play when we tell God what to do. And if God doesn't do exactly what we want him to, then we walk away. And we say, fine, you don't want me in your church. You don't want to help me out. I don't want to be a Christian. Or I don't believe in prayer, so I'm just walking away. Our God listens to our prayers, but he will not permit us to dictate to him what he must do. Because he can see the past and the present and the future all at once. And sometimes he knows what is best even when we don't, because he can see the future. I mean, what are we to understand when we pray for someone to be healed and they aren't? It does not mean that God loves some people more than others. It does not mean God respects some and not others. God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." See, we got a big God. And we've got to be able to trust that big God who loves us to do what is best for us in the long term. And when that answer does not come exactly the way we want, and exactly the way we expect, and exactly the way we're praying, we need to realize he still heard. And he's still going to do what's best. And we, our faith, we need to hold hands with those three Old Testament young men who were thrown into the furnace of fire for refusing to worship idols. They told the king of Babylon this: if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods ever. I throw in the ever. We will not worship the image of gold you have set up ever. They're going to be obedient. Even if their prayers aren't answered, they're going to be obedient. You see, our trust in God is not because we always get our way. Our trust in God is because we believe in the way of God. That it is always best. That it is always right. And that God loves us. I can't tell you why all of your prayers aren't answered the way you want them to be prayed. You want them answered. But I can tell you this: our God loves you. And he will always do what's best for you. The band is going to lead us in a song concerning prayer, concerning God loving us and intervening, and his presence is always with us. And we'll have members of our prayer team up front during the song. And if you want prayer today, maybe it's for you, maybe it's for someone you love, maybe it's for a friend. If you want us to lift up someone on your behalf during this song, you can make your way up the aisle and walk to one of our prayer team members, and they'll be glad to pray with you for your request. Let this be God leading you and affirming to you he's got this. He's in control. He's going to take care of you. Let's stand, please.